This is Discipleship Dissected on Coach and Joe.
Welcome to the Coach and Joe podcast. I'm here with the infamous Vince Gaskin. The only thing I've ever found wrong with this man is he's a New York Giants fan.
Yet I am infamous?
Yes.
Not famous, but infamous.
I don't even know what that means. What does infamous mean?
It's not good.
What's infamous?
It's kind of like a negative, you know? It's
no,
like,
I don't think so.
No?
Siri, what does infamous mean? Let's check this out. Oh, never mind. That's not good. He's not wicked. He's not well known for some bad quality or deed. So we're off to a good start here.
Okay.
I'm flowing in the river of God. How about the famous Vince Gaskin?
There you go.
Of Berea, that married to Teresa.
That's a lot better.
You caught it, though. I didn't catch it. Met his dog last week.
Oakley.
Oakley.
Oakley's a good Cocker Spaniel.
Yes.
Yeah. Very obedient.
I'm working on that with my dog. We're 3 years in.
Yeah.
We're getting there. I want to start a conversation today on wisdom and its relationship with humility. All right, you ready?
Yes,
let's go for it. Vince is pastor here on staff, elder at Bridgeway Church, good friend of mine, a brother. We've been serving together for almost 7 years now. Vince is one of our professors at Ascent University, teaching a class currently on wisdom.
That's right.
We're going to get into a fun talk on wisdom. So let's start here. My family in the morning gathers 4 mornings a week to whatever day of the month it is, we read that proverb. And I'm noticing as time goes on, no pun intended, there's a lot of wisdom in Proverbs.
That's right.
Which is a whole book on wisdom.
Yeah.
But you read it and you just take a chapter slowly at a time. And it's, I tell my kids, I said, in order to be successful in life, if I could only give you one book of the Bible to read, I think it'd be this one. Solomon could ask for anything. You know the story. He asked for wisdom.
Yeah, 1 Kings chapter 3. Yeah.
Wisdom is to be desired, to be pursued, to be cherished. Let's just start here.
Sure.
What is wisdom?
Well, you know, a lot of folks look at wisdom, especially when you take it from the context of James, which says, you know, if any man lacks wisdom, let him ask God, and he will give it to him liberally, you know, freely. You know, and we take it almost like we're asking God for a drink of water, all right, and which for the moment is good, and then we'll come back maybe a day later, 2 days later, whatever it is, and say, oh, I need some wisdom, and we'll ask God again for wisdom, you know. Well, yeah, in my studies, I've learned that, you know, wisdom is more than just a drink of water. There's two types of wisdoms. There is conventional wisdom, which is, you know, the kind of wisdom that you learn through experience, you know, whatever the event for the day is. I need wisdom to make this purchase. I need wisdom to speak to my wife. All right. There's that kind of wisdom. And that kind of wisdom comes through time, you know, which is not the kind of wisdom that God is referring to. I've learned that wisdom, and it's in particular in the Proverbs 7, 8, and 9, is referred to in the female vernacular, and she is actually a person.
Proverbs 3 as well.
Yeah.
Read it this morning in my family. Today's February 3rd, and refers to her as a woman.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. She, you know, I had one of my students, Emily Zemaitis, you know, we were talking about how did they feel, because in those three chapters, it starts off talking about the harlot versus the versus wisdom.
Yeah,
and you know, if you're a woman, you might get offended by the fact that the harlot is mentioned. But I was talking to my students, and I asked them how, in particular, the young ladies, how they felt about that. And to my she said she looked at wisdom as almost a nurturer, a motherly figure, you know, because wisdom is there throughout all creation.
You ever study a language, you know, who is God? A lot of people think God is God the Father is a white Republican male. He's a John Wayne with a gun on his hip. You ought to look into the Greek. You know, God's a spirit. Man is not just made in image of God, so is woman.
Mm.
Holy Spirit, I remember in seminary, studying Holy Spirit, studying the Greek language, it's like, whew, there is a mothering side to this whole equation. The Father is not just some stern leader as a father.
No.
He's very tender.
Yes.
Wisdom is God himself. You know, Ephesians 1:17, Paul says, I pray that God the Father would give you spirit of wisdom and revelation. I think the word there is Sophia for wisdom.
Yeah.
And the connotation there is, to prove your point, slowly learn wisdom over time. Mm-hmm. Revelation can be given in an instant, mm-hmm. like in Jeremiah 33:3.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a relationship with wisdom.
That's right.
How about this, mind bender? Luke 2:52, Jesus grew in wisdom.
Yeah.
Excuse me, God Almighty, sinless.
Well, see, that one throws me for a little loop because it almost seems like it's saying that Jesus started out maybe without wisdom, but he grew in it. But see, if you read Proverbs 8, wisdom says that she was always with him. She was matter of fact, he created her. All right, she's a created being. She's not God. All right, she was the first of all creation.
Paul says, "Spirit of wisdom."
Yeah,
spirit.
Yeah.
Of wisdom.
There's seven spirits.
You had a dream.
Yes, I did.
You had an interesting dream that this will trigger the religious spirit.
Oh God!
This one will get emails, which I'm fine with.
Yeah,
I like what Bill Johnson says. Maybe signs are there to make you wonder.
Yeah,
I've had things happen to me, Vince, to where I don't know. I don't even know what to do. When we first merged two churches here and I became lead pastor of Bridgeway Church, there was a 90-foot glory cloud appeared in the room here at Bridgeway.
Mm.
And the father said, go up on stage and talk about it. And this is my response. And say what?
Yeah.
And this is all I said. It's recorded. I said, we're just going to follow God, the God of whatever this is.
Yeah.
So we're not trying to make a doctrine out of this dream.
Nope.
But this is a dream you had.
Right.
The dream is about wisdom.
Yeah.
Go for it. When was this?
This is probably about 4 months ago, 4 or 5 months ago.
Oh, so it wasn't, I was thinking it was a long time ago.
No.
Okay, so this is timely. Yeah. All right, tell the dream.
Yeah, and I didn't realize who she was until I was talking to Mike Hardigree. Anyway, in the dream, I'm in this office building, and I walk through these large doors, and this young lady meets me there. She has bright red hair, and she's dressed in a business suit. I feel like I'm in there for an interview, and she looks at me, and we start walking and talking, and she says, you have the faith of a fifth grader, and in which I said, I felt offended, and I was like, wow, that, you know, surely I got greater faith than that. And she takes me down to a room where there is a door, and we walked into the door, and there's a drop-off of probably about 30 feet or so, and then down on the floor in the it's almost like a gym, and there's a bunch of children playing there, and they're just having fun. And I looked at the drop-off, and I said, let's go around and down the stairs. So we started down the stairs, and the dream pretty much ends there, all right? But I was talking to my son about it, and when I shared the dream with him, he said, Dad, you know, the faith of a fifth grader is childlike faith, you know? And then I thought about the dream even more, and I was like, well, you know— I wish I'd have jumped off that drop off. But anyway, she introduced herself as Elle, you know. And in my conversation with Mike Hardigree, he said that another prominent pastor that he was talking to said he had a dream or vision of wisdom, and she had red hair. So, yeah.
We are extraterrestrial. We're not human. You know, Jesus, they are always asking, where are you from? He said, I'm not from here.
Mm.
Ultimately, our homeland is another territory.
Mm-hmm.
We're a colony of heaven, our Father, which art in heaven. When I read the Gospels for myself, or the whole Bible for myself, there's strange things that happen on almost every page. God doesn't see them as strange. We see them as strange because we get so tied down here by our five senses, what I can see, taste, touch, feel, hear.
Right.
This is not strange to God. He's... That realm came before this realm.
That's right.
So your dream, in essence, not only is it not weird to God, we should probably start off by saying, okay, Father, this is your norm. What are you trying to say in this dream? A couple of things that jump out to me. Wisdom is attracted to low places. Let me explain. Fifth grader, you were offended in the dream.
Right.
It's the father's sense of humor, by the way, I'm telling you. He's poking at that. What you thought was an insult, God used your son to tell you, Dad, it's not an insult.
Yeah.
Okay, so this is what I found with humility, and this is where I think a lot of your dreams about. And you should have jumped off that
thing.
I
wish I did.
Who knows? I may have put my britches if I was been in the dream. I'm not saying I'm any better than you, but I about 2 weeks ago, I have been crying out for Jeremiah 33:3. Mm-hmm. So it's God's secrets, not for leadership. I don't. It's not about that. Yeah. It's God. I want to know you.
Yeah.
I want to know. I want your norm to become my norm.
Right.
I'm curious. I've always been very curious. And he said, okay. But he said, you have to do something first. I said, okay. And he said, I'll give you Jeremiah 33 secrets, and I'll flow off of your own personal consecration. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I wish we could negotiate sometimes with God like my 11-year-old does with me, but you just can't negotiate with him. So I said, okay. So I gave some things up, taking some break, stepping into a fasting season.
Yeah.
I have noticed that on the it literally is following this fast that the secrets are flowing way more than normal. So I'm sitting with God, and he shows me the Latin root of humility, yeah. Humilitas. Uh-huh. Start looking into it, and it means from the ground, in the ground.
Yeah.
And it just floods my spirit, like Ephesians 1:17. I think it was more revelation than wisdom, because it was like instant. And this is my thought process. God made us from the ground. He went to the lowest thing he could get to, picked up dirt, and blew his ruach into Adam.
All right.
If you stay in the ground, wisdom will flow to you your entire life. If you get off the ground, wisdom seems to depart from you. Where pride is, the bigger you get, whatever it is, where pride is, wisdom seems to leave.
Yeah.
Wisdom tends to flow to the most, to the lowest places.
Yeah. Wisdom is not, she's not fickle. All right.
Correct.
You're absolutely right. She will flee from sin. She will flee from the forward person, the boaster, the proud. She will flee from. I mean, you know, the Holy Spirit may stick around, but if you want to do things on your own, she will absolutely let you.
That's the thing, on your own. So Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, we read it this morning, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Why the word all? Why not just say trust the Lord? Basically, wisdom flows to even lower than a fifth grader, because I really think a second grader or a first grader would have jumped off the ledge in your dream.
Yeah.
Wisdom, how about, this is what I'm trying to say, Vince. God is attracted to the dirt. I have a shirt on today. Gather, scatter, repeat.
Yeah.
The scatter, God, I ask the Lord quite often, if you were here leading this church in the flesh, what would you do? He said, make disciples. I'd be in the slums. He's attracted to the dirt. He's attracted to low places. I don't mean dirt as in dirty. I don't mean dirty.
I know what you mean.
I'm talking about Garden of Eden. I'm talking about low. When God made man, he went to the lowest place.
Yeah.
People with no means, typically, not always, but typically are not high and lofty. What is, in your opinion, what is the relationship between humility and wisdom? How does this work?
Okay, the thing about humility means you are absolutely done with yourself, all right? You have no regard for who you are, what you've accomplished, and in the eyes of God, all right? Because oftentimes we carry these things around like baggages and badges, and we show them off, all right? And God is not attracted to that. What he's attracted to is an empty vessel, which he can then pour out his spirit in.
All right, watch yourself. I had a dream last night. You want to hear the dream?
Go ahead.
In the dream last night, I was with another man who was a leader who had stepped into tons of pride. There was three stripes on his, what arm is it on? There was three stripes on his right sleeve. And in the dream, all three stripes disappeared in the dream. And I said, in the dream, a lot of times God will commentate my dreams inside the dreams. Did he ever do that for you?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
In the dream, I knew that his rank had been decreased greatly because of pride. Mm-hmm. And I had been praying for this particular leader, and his shirt went from dirty to very clean. Okay. Now watch this. The night before, I had a dream of a CEO. I'm going to preach this coming Sunday.
Yeah.
Of a CEO that was very influential. He got demoted in his dream to be the fourth in line on the team that he was on that wasn't even on the leadership team. So he got demoted. And in the same dream, I was leading a group. We all had on the same shirts, very modest shirts. And I was watching Bridgeway, and I was watching this other organization. And in the dream, a person brought me four business cards from the person who fell and said, frame them and put this beside your bed so you can see it every night when you go to bed and every morning when you wake up. And what God said to me in the dream was this, don't make your own mistakes, learn from the mistakes of others. Mm. The mistake in both my dreams, two nights ago and last night,
yeah.
Pride versus humility.
Yeah.
And the correlation is wisdom,
yeah,
which is God.
Yeah.
He's the wise one, is attracted to humility. So let me ask you this. We know this. I mean, everybody can probably teach it. Why is it so difficult for people to stay in the dirt?
Because the higher you get, the more you think you've earned. You know, there's so many men that have climbed so high on the mountain that have fallen because instead of looking at God, they started looking at what God has done for them and looking at themselves and looking at what they've accomplished. All right.
Do you know Hattie Baker?
Yes, I do.
In this room right here, she prayed for me. When Hattie goes to heaven, there will be multiple books written about her life. I agree with Will Hart on this. If you know anything about the mission field and the history of missions, what God has used Roland and Heidi to do in Mozambique is incredible. She looked at me 2 years ago. I was going through a really difficult time of gossip and slander against me here. And she said, I've heard you've been through a rough stretch. And I said, I have. And this is what she said. Oh, honey, that's not the rough stretch. The rough stretch is when they say all great things about you.
Amen.
She said, you're not going through a hard time right now.
Amen.
She said, but you will one day. So this is how God says it to me. When a person reads his or her press clippings, they fall.
Isn't that what Satan did?
Yeah. Before humans were created.
Yeah.
Will I not ascend?
Yes. Looked at himself, looked how beautiful he was, or is.
Let's get real practical here. Wow. Go into professor mode. You ready? We got leaders listening to this podcast. Everybody's got, you're going to listen to it and be like, yes, I want to finish well. I want to stay in the dirt. Okay, great. There's a how component. There's a practical atomic habits thing going on at Bridgeway and at Ascent University. This James Clear book on, listen, you got to have a plan. Passion's overrated. Passion led men to fly planes to the Twin Towers. I can have a passion to stay in the dirt, be humble, and to pursue wisdom. Okay, that's great. What's the plan? So talk to me practically. How can a young leader develop a plan? What does one need to do to not to become the two other men in my dreams in the last two nights? How do I stay in the dirt?
Oh, gosh, I hope this is $1 million answer because, see, we're all trying to figure that out, you know, especially of us, those of us who want to stay in the flow in the river where God has us. You know, how I do it, I personally, when I awake, you know, I don't carry anything forward. I don't carry anything forward, and I don't bring anything ahead of me. And I try to just live in the moment. I breathe. It's basically what I do. I breathe because, see, if I bring my past into the current, all right, well, God can't do anything with that. It's already been done. So I have to live in the moment. I think we have to live in the moment where God has us. Wisdom is not conventional wisdom. It's not like conventional wisdom. She exists in us almost like the Holy Spirit. She's not the Holy Spirit. She was created, all right? Holy Spirit is God. He's not created. She wants to speak through us, all right, in the moment. She doesn't want us to plan ahead. She don't want us to frame our thoughts or frame our words. She wants to frame our words. She wants to frame our thoughts, all right, so that we know his ways, his thoughts, all right? So thus, what we have to do is pretty much essentially deny everything that we've accomplished because, see, it all belongs to God. It's for his glory, right? This is what grace is about. You didn't save yourself. By grace, you're saved, right? This is what grace is about. Live through the grace that God has given you for the accomplishments and the tasks that are in front of you or are at the moment, and then do them.
You know who put Jesus on the cross?
Oh, yeah, I did.
So did I. Do you know what I hear you saying? The moment you forget that, you're in trouble.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Vince Gaskin put him on the cross.
Oh, yeah, I sure did.
I think a huge key here, does Chad Norris really believe that? Currently, we all can fall. I'm not going to project where I'm going to be down the road. The Lord says don't even worry about tomorrow. Currently, do I believe it? Mm-hmm. And so a person who gets out of the dirt forgets they put him on the cross.
That's right.
I love what you said about being in the present. You know, this is what comes to mind, Vince. I've never had one of my three kids come to me. Begging me of what we're going to eat that night. Dad, I just trust by faith you're going to feed me tonight. I would look at them of like, what is wrong?
Yeah.
Children, back to your dream, children don't struggle with this like adults do.
No, they don't.
You don't want to know. If I ask Jack Norris, hey, what do you see yourself 10 years from now? He's like, I have no idea, but I'd really like to play golf with you today.
Yeah. If you ask him, Jack Norris, who's your dad? He would tell you, Chad Norris is my
Maybe
dad.
We're supposed to be kids.
Yes.
Maybe he's our father.
Yes. Yes.
Have you heard of Mike Iaconelli?
I can't say.
Mike, he started a ministry called Youth Specialties. He died about 15, 20 years ago. He wrote a couple of books.
Iaconelli.
Mike Iaconelli.
That's our handle boy.
Oh, he's a hysterical guy. He's in heaven now. He wrote a book called Dangerous Wonder and Messy Spirituality.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what I got from those two books?
What's that?
You have to train an adult to be a kid. But to a kid, you don't have to train a kid to be a kid.
No, you don't.
Perfect example. I've taken six.
Too often we try to make kids adults.
Yes. 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 Specifically in Asian cultures, where kids feel so much pressure, suicide rate is really, really high. Mm. I tell my children all the time, Sam's really struggled with this, my oldest, because he's the oldest and he wants to be responsible. I said, Sam, be a kid.
Yeah.
I said, sometimes I feel like you just need to go do something stupid and roll somebody's car with toilet paper or something. Be a kid. One of the things I noticed.
Keep them away from my car, by the way.
Yes. One of the things I notice is this. A kid just depends on his dad.
That's right.
Wounded healers make the best healers. Because they're wounded.
Mm.
Israel was birthed out of a wrestling match.
That's right.
With a man.
Yeah.
I can't prove this, but you know, I think that what the father did, I think it was Jesus who wrestled with him. When he popped his socket.
Yeah.
Jacob's socket. Just hear me out on this. Because I don't believe that sickness comes from the father. I believe that the father is a healer.
Mm-hmm.
But when he popped Jacob's hip, I think he knew if the Jacob walked with the limp the rest of his life, he'd stay low.
You remember.
You know the first thing he did to Saul Paul?
Oh, yeah.
Blinded him.
That's right.
So here's the grace, and we'll close here. The Father knows, if you want wisdom to flow to you, the Father knows you need to stay in the dirt. There's two ways humility find you. You choose into it, or it'll find you.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I'd rather choose into it.
Yeah.
So if we're prone to get out of that dirt, and start standing up like we're something else, and we forgot we came from dirt, what's Adam going to take credit for 2 days into being on the earth? It's the low ones.
Yes, it is. It is.
Close with the blessing. Pray for leaders listening to us. Just pray as you're led that they would step into wisdom, humility.
Heavenly Father, your word says this. Call wisdom your sister. Enter into a relationship with her. That she calls out for us, Father God. That's what the word says. That's what Proverbs tells us. She calls out to us. Father, I just pray, Father God, that those who hear this word, that they will heed her call, that they will bend their knee and just bow and just seek her out, Father God, as a sister, as a relationship, to enter into them, Father God, as more than a confidant, but someone to give them the answers to the moment's questions. So, Father, I just bless those who are listening right now, and I thank you for them. I thank you, Father God, for your word, which burns in us. And, Father, we just give you glory, honor, and praise for what you're doing, what you're going to do. In Yeshua's name, amen.
Amen. Have a great week. Today's part one of a four-part series on wisdom with Vince and myself. Look forward to talking about this for the next 3 weeks. Go walk in friendship with God. Be at peace.
Thanks for joining us on the Coach and Joe Leadership Podcast. Don't miss the Coach and Joe Talk Show on YouTube and coachandjoe.com for epic merch, blogs, and ways to help keep us up and running. We'll see you next time on the Coach and Joe Leadership Podcast.